This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour, after a bitter election, how do we overcome deeply personal political divides?
You think Trump is a divider?
Yeah, oh yeah. He's a big promoter of hatred in my eyes.
See, and I don't feel that way at all.
We spend time with one grandmother and granddaughter as they talk through their differences. They also share advice on how to weather the holiday season with family members who have totally different views.
It's not worth dividing a family or ruining a relationship just because we don't agree on something in politics.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
6 months ago today, George Floyd was killed under the knee of a Minneapolis police officer, triggering protests over racial injustice in cities across America. The Minneapolis Police Department is facing calls for its abolition while struggling with high attrition and low morale as violent crime there is on the rise. Special correspondent Fred DeSam Lazaro brings us up to date. This report is part of his series, Agents for Change.
At the memorial to George Floyd, which drew tens of thousands of visitors in the warm months, the foliage has begun to wilt in a crisp Minnesota fall, symbolic, perhaps, of an exhausting 6 months in this city. It's been more than exhausting for Dan Rafaya, whose auto body shop is a block north of the memorial.
We really, really, really suffering because of the situation. I mean, my business is down like 50 to 60%.
Barricades make it harder to get in, he says, but there's a much bigger reason.
Most of the customers scared to come to this area.
They're scared.
Six or more people been shot out here.
Residents and business owners say there's been a spike in violent crime in the memorial area and across the city. Rafaya himself was assaulted during a robbery at his shop that left him unconscious and hospitalized. Some might think the answer would be more police in the area, but to volunteers who maintain this site, it's not an option.
How you doing, ma'am?
We ran into Eliza Wesley, who called herself the gatekeeper of the North End.
The police is not allowed to come in here, and we're not letting them in.
Hostility toward the police is still widely evident in graffiti, a reminder of the unrest that engulfed the city in May, taking out several buildings, including the 3rd Police Precinct, which remains boarded up.
The Minneapolis Police Department has pretty much remained in crisis since May. About 150 of its 800-odd officers have quit, retired, or taken personal or disability leaves, reportedly with many claims of post-traumatic stress disorder. So acute is the staffing shortage that the chief has sought to temporarily hire officers from other jurisdictions.
I'm saying we need more resources today and right now.
Meeting virtually, Chief Medaria Arredondo sought $500,000 from the city council for the added help to address what he called an unprecedented surge in crime this year.
As of to date, 74 homicides, as well as getting close to over roughly 500 of our community members who've been shot and wounded in our city, as well as a significant increase in carjackings throughout our city.
The request, though a small sum, was only narrowly approved by a city council that's been at loggerheads with the police department.
This council is going to dismantle this police department.
The slogan, Defund the Police, which would become a political lightning rod nationally, first came to prominence after Floyd's killing, when 9 council members, a majority, voted to create alternative approaches to public safety. More mental health counselors and violence prevention programs, fewer patrol cops. Their efforts have been slowed by legislative and legal hurdles.
I think that increasing the number of police on the ground immediately is comfort food.
Councilman Jeremiah Ellison represents the city's predominantly black North Side. One of the defund faction, he voted against the chief's emergency request.
It makes some people feel like you're doing something, even though you're not. And but it doesn't actually improve the material lives of the people in my ward, for example, who are on the receiving end of this uptick in violence.
Not a way to do it.
North Minneapolis community activist Lisa Clemens disagrees.
We need the police in our community.
Clemens's organization, Mother's Love, tries to de-escalate violence and mentor young families in crisis, particularly single mothers. This past weekend, her group and others distributed masks, toiletries, and safety literature outside a grocery store.
We need to be safe with COVID.
As an African-American and former cop, Clemens has a more nuanced view of the Minneapolis Police Department, which has a long history of tense relations with the black community, including several officer-involved shootings.
Putting all cops under an umbrella is what I think is wrong, but I think there's enough cops that should not be wearing a uniform that impacts all the good that cops do.
And though it's a luxury these days with staffing shortages, she says her community urgently needs more beat police officers, not just those responding in a crisis.
The worst thing you can do is have cops just be 911 responders, because that means you're going to see people at their worst every day in your career. You are not going to have time to build relationships.
Clemens herself decided to leave policing to build those relationships.
In all honesty, I got sick of putting young people in the back of a squad car. I wanted to do something to reach young people, reach families.
You want to get a hat?
Among those she's reached is Kavana Sims, for whom she purchased Thanksgiving staples.
We found her in tragedy, which is sadly where we find a lot of people, in tragedy.
Three teenagers were killed after a car chase turned deadly this morning.
Sims' son, Demetrius, and two friends were recently killed as they fled police and crashed the vehicle they had violently carjacked.
Just started working. It went real energetic. He just liked to be with his friends and family. I wanted my son. I wanted them to see more than what I seen growing up. I wanted him to succeed.
Sims, who works as a construction laborer, says she has no idea what led her son astray. And Clemens says she's not alone among parents struggling to cope, particularly as the pandemic has closed school buildings and recreation centers for their children.
They need mentors inside the house and outside the house.
Things to do.
A lot of times, a lot of parents stay silent because they don't want to be judged. But we want them to be able to call and say, I'm seeing some changes in my kid, and I need some help. That is that village that everybody keeps talking about.
She adds that with the Floyd killing, with the pandemic, that village somehow feels larger today as the entire city grapples with a spike in crime. For the many businesses struggling to rebuild from the rubble of last May's unrest, there are other worries. New COVID restrictions, and next spring, the trial of the four former police officers charged in the killing of George Floyd. For the PBS NewsHour, this is Fred DeSamlazaro in Minneapolis.
And Fred's reporting is a partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.